I think there's a lot of strong support within the community, but that being said, there does have to be an economic reason to do this.
Haynes will soon have a realistic look at wood heat feasibility. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Picknell. That story and more up next. By this Thanksgiving, the Haynes Library will have something to be very thankful for. Patricia Brown, the new library director.
I'd say it's official that we have a new library director in Haynes, and she'll be here probably a little bit before Thanksgiving.
Library Board Chair Heather Lendy says the board would have liked to hire a local or an Alaskan if they had that option. But Brown is from Montana with strong ties to Alaska and is looking forward to the relocation.
She's actually really looking forward to the move, and I think, you know, from the board perspective, we would have loved to have somebody local or certainly Alaskan, because we realize that that's kind of part of the equation that people from down south may be least familiar with. But Patty actually has family in Whitehorse, and she owns a cabin at Desdiash that she's had since she was in college. So she's real familiar with northern places and Alaska and our area in particular.
The Haynesboro Assembly confirmed the Library Board's recommendation for Brown at last week's Assembly meeting, as well as an annual salary of $53,872.
She's been a librarian for about 15 years, and most recently she's been working on the Crow Reservation outside of Billings. She spent most of her career in or around kind of Indian country. She grew up, her father was an administrator in the Indian Health Service, so I think she's well prepared to meet the challenges of our small library, and it may not even seem that remote or small compared to some of the places that she's been.
The board hit a stumbling block last summer when the original confirmed candidate withdrew his interest in the position. He noted that the relocation was the difficult thing for him and his family.
We just sort of kept going and hoped that our little light from our library here would shine brightly somewhere else.
Barb Blood has been filling in as library director since the position opened. The new hire, Patty Brown, will begin next month.
I think it was her overall approach to the position, to the, you know, the way she answered questions, the way she talked with us. Her qualifications are broad. She's comfortable managing grants, and she's also comfortable with collection development and managing people. And so I think she's really less of a, and again, I mean, I've just hardly met her, so I don't really know that well, and time might tell, but she seems to be someone that really offers instead maybe just sort of a steady leadership and someone that will continue our excellent programs and service, but also probably have some really good ideas about where to go in the future. She likes a challenge that way, but she's also not someone that's just going to come in and turn us all upside down either, and that's good news too. I think overall she's going to be a really good fit. She's a very pleasant person, hardworking and soft-spoken, and pretty much just what we need.
Is wood heat practical for Haynesboro buildings? The answer will be more clear in just 2 weeks when experts release the first concrete evidence from the wood heat feasibility study. Paul Weisner is with CE2 Engineers in Anchorage and is one of the people working on the study.
What we're doing is trying to get a draft, at least the fuel feasibility part of the study, in a couple weeks. We got a pretty good handle on what it is. Now we got to do is look at these, you know, I call the universe of reasonable possibilities or practical possibilities, and then we'll put some numbers to them, and we'll basically build a matrix, so you know, like a big chart, so you can see what's going on, what's the advantages and disadvantages of them. I mean, for instance, let's say you import some chips from somewhere and it's more economic, but then how much difference is it? Does it make a difference whether if you sacrifice a little of the savings, you're still saving some, you might be able to circulate your money inside the community, which would be a benefit. So there'll be a lot of value judgments made. We want to give the borough as much of the tools as we can and the information so the community can make an intelligent decision.
Weisner really got involved in the wood heat discussion last summer to help the borough put together an application for the Alaska Energy Authority to begin the feasibility study. But the look into the world of wood heat started long before that, and not just for Haynes, but many towns who are affected by rising fuel prices and interested in alternative technologies.
The main thing that's happened is the price trauma, you say, from oil. people do a lot of planning, especially municipalities. They plan, they budget for electricity, they budget for heating oil, they budget for all this stuff. And then when you have events that happen, like with the oil, how it spiked, can literally devastate, especially villages in rural Alaska, small communities like Haines. I mean, it affects everybody, but it really, really hits. So people are looking for alternatives. And they also want environmentally responsible alternatives. I think that's part of it. The other thing is that oil, if we say natural gas, oil, and propane, they're pretty nice fuels. I mean, we've got a whole technology. It's easy to handle them. You know, they can be handled with a minimal amount of labor and trouble. And so when you burn something like wood, which is a more complicated molecule, you have to earn your burn, so to speak. And so it's not easy to do all that.
The idea of using wood to heat borough buildings is much more modern than building fireplaces all over town. Wood heat technology has advanced to include a wide range of state-of-the-art systems in place in many parts of the United States.
What we see with 40,000 gallons of fuel, we're looking at probably using a chip system because of the volume. Okay, one of the things that they wanted to do was to have something that's automated. They don't want somebody doing a bunch of stoking and stuff and a lot of labor. So that narrows the field down to either chips or pellets. Now, your pellet industry is not developed here. There are some people in the state, in small communities that are there. I know of two of them that have actually fairly successful pellet operations, and they're trying to build one in Fairbanks. So then transportation costs are significant and can affect things. But like, for instance, pellets are especially be really good for residences because they can be automated.
To complete the study, Wisner and his firm are working with Nathan Rotz and his employer, CTA Architects Engineers, in Missoula, Montana. Rotz says he's worked on a lot of wood heat projects and has seen some great successes. But it doesn't always work. That's the point of the feasibility study, says Rotz. Specifically, only about 17% of the wood heat studies he's worked on have turned into wood heat projects.
Just because we're doing a feasibility report doesn't mean this is going to be feasible. I mean, my company, I'm from Montana, and we've done probably 120 of these, and out of that, in the end, we only have 20 projects that were completed. So, like Paul has said all along, we want to walk into this with eyes wide open. That's the whole point of doing this feasibility at the beginning, is because we want to look at what's going to affect it, what are the project costs, and is it really economically viable. I think there's a lot of strong support within the community, but that being said, there does have to be an economic reason to do this. And so doing the feasibility will tell us that. We may find out when this is complete that, boy, it's not really feasible. Or we might find out that, geez, when it gets to $4 a gallon, this will be feasible. So put it on the shelf for a couple years. Or, you know, the borough will have information then to be able to make decisions down the line. But just because we're doing a feasibility report doesn't mean it's going to be feasible. That's the whole point of the report, is to see what is the economic viability of it.
There are several factors that engineers use to determine if the project is economically feasible. Wisner says that includes Haines' strengths and weaknesses.
We've got to see if the biomass that we have available, you might say the universe of realistic possibilities, can work. So what we're doing as part of the study, and responsible, we have to look at the universe of practical possibilities, and that would be the first choice, of course, is the local wood. And we have plenty of wood here. That's not an issue. The issue that we see is, the primary issue is moisture.
The more moisture in the wood, the more wood it takes to dry the fuel, but the feasibility study could shed some light on whether that balance is an economically sensible one. But even if it isn't, there are still other options in Wisner's universe of possibilities, each with their own issues.
For instance, if you take dry wood, let's say from the Yukon out there toward Whitehorse, that wood is really great, but you got fuel costs. So what if your cost of diesel goes through the roof? Then that could change the whole economics or the value of the dollar respect to the Canadian dollar. These things could completely throw your project off. If you get, let's say, wood chips from some place out in Prince of Wales Island, that's a possibility. If the barge cost goes up, you know, that's a fossil fuel. So we're balancing all that stuff. We'd like to see things done locally, but we've got to look at all the possibilities involved here. So we don't go in and say, oh, this is a great idea, build this thing, and then find out that you did all this work to pay more money.
But some residents are worried about the changes that could accompany a decision to pursue wood heat, like industrial development and air quality.
I built a lot of infrastructure in rural Alaska, and we make some major changes in the community when you start building like a big water plant or something. And so we have been talking about that. When you make a building, it's sort of an industrial building. You can make him look nice. You're bringing in vehicles with chips, or you're doing something. So you have to take that into account. So it's not like you want to plunk it right next to Main Street downtown. You got to really think about this thing. The other thing is, as far as emissions go, we're very concerned about air quality. But the first thing is, if you see a bunch of smoke coming out, that means you're wasting energy. It's not just a health thing, but you're wasting energy. You should have that your combustion system set and designed so it burns real clean.
The study will yield a 35% design, which is purely conceptual. The price tag is around $140,000, which includes travel, fieldwork, analysis, and map making involving drafters, engineers, and researchers. The first solid results from the Haynes Wood Heat Feasibility Study will be available within 2 weeks, but the final study is expected to be complete by the end of the year. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell. Listen to KHNS newscasts anytime. Just go to khns.org to download past reports.